From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we have a Forum for the Fans show in the Buckeye Fan Forum. NBA Finals, Miami Heat, Los Angeles Lakers. Goodness gracious, I don't know how I'm going to get through this series. You know, I normally, you know what, I think I've done this in the past, like probably in other sports, especially the baseball. When it gets to a point like this, when it gets to a point where it's two teams I can't stand, I loathe, in the Miami Heat, the Los Angeles Lakers, like, I probably would turn it off. You know, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm going to still try to watch. I hate both teams with a passion. And I was going back and forth with this over the weekend of which team I need to pull for more than the other. And for me, and I'm speaking for me, and I'll let the other guys get on and let them speak for themselves. I think I got to go for the Lakers over the Heat. I hate to say this because I hate the Lakers, but I hate the Heat more. I think this all goes back to the 90s rivalry with the Knicks and the Heat and how Pat Riley left the New York Knicks. And that, you know, that's a story, you know, that's kind of the caveat to all this. And he's built the three championship clubs for the Heat in the 2000s and the 21st century. So that's kind of where I stand. I'm going back and forth with this, but I'm looking, you know, let's talk about the matchups, Heat and Lakers with Dom and Chris. We'll get them on right now. Don, say hello to the people, and then we'll bring on Chris. Don, say hello, bro. How's everything, man?
Good evening, Steven. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, dude, man. You know, shout out to Av, and we're going to get Av's thoughts here on this episode, Don, because you know, obviously, normally our normal 9 p.m. episode, you know, the Yankees, I mean, you know, the baseball, the finals, all that stuff, we had to push this up, you know, rightfully so, right? We had to push this up to get this conversation. So it is what it is. We're not missing the baseball. We're not missing the NBA Finals. No live look-ins, man. Now, this is the weird time for sports, right, Chris? How's everything, bro?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm actually preparing for a meeting right after this for my basketball season as well, so I'm excited.
All right. Okay, that's what's up. Shout-outs to Chris. Dom, you heard my little spiel, man. I mean, Dom, you kind of been on the spot on for these NBA final or in the playoffs, both of you guys actually more than me. You know, credit. I give credit where credit is due. Now, I have to give a little bit of a lot of us on this platform were concerned about the Lakers' perimeter defense going into the bubble, but I think they've kind of found a way to get through these series. Past Houston, past Denver. Now they got the Miami Heat, who got snipers. Duncan Robinson can knock down threes. Tyler Hero could knock down threes. He had phenomenal games versus the Celtics. Don, what's your thoughts, man, as far as the start of the NBA Finals, last series in the bubble, Heat and Lakers, and God, and who are – I know you're a Knicks fan, Don, but if you had to pick one that – do you have a preference who you want to win? I mean, I hate to say it like that. And your thoughts on the matchups, and then we'll go to Chris, and we'll have some dialogue, man.
Well, you know what, Steve? I got to take off that bit of beer face. Because I've been riding with Miami for a minute now. So I'm going to ride the wheels until it comes off. I'm just going to stick with Miami. I'm going to let all of that stuff you started with the Pat Riley and the dynasty he built, that's not his fault. That's a Nick boo-boo. Can't hold it against him for the rest of his life. But this is what I wanted to see. And the weird thing is that we all know the Heat are probably 2 to 3 years ahead of where they should be. This team wasn't supposed – let's just keep it real, guys. I don't think anybody when this season started predicted them to be in the finals. But since they've been in the bubble, they've been one of the best teams in the bubble. So you talk about it all coming together at one good time. And I'll tell you who the sleeper is going to be. Gordon Dragic. Because they just ain't paying attention to this guy enough. And it's amazing what he's done. He's come off the bench all year. And all of a sudden, Spoelstra just tapped him on the shoulder when they got to the bubble and said, hey, man, we need you to start. And it was like they never missed a beat, taking nothing away from none. I'm taking nothing away from that young man. He's still a young player. So he's still in a great position with that organization. But this is going to be a good series, guys. I happen to have a lot more disdain for all of California than I do any other city other than maybe Boston. There's always been something about California since I was a kid. So I'm riding with Miami, Steve. I gotta stick with him. I'm sorry, but I gotta stick with him.
I think, all right, shout out to I get it, bro. I get it. Now, Chris, if I had to guess, if you had to pick a winner, you know, one you want to win more than the other, I think at the end of the day, Chris, you don't care who wins. But if you had to pick one, I think it would be the Lakers. That would be my guess. But I'll let you speak for yourself. And what's your thoughts on this series and what you heard from Don?
So I'm going to say I'm not a fan of either team. Let's put that out there right now.
Yes, sir.
But if I had to pick, I'm going to go with the Heat. I would rather have the Heat.
Oh.
Just because I don't like LeBron. I haven't liked LeBron since he went back to Cleveland. I think I kind of took it personal that he was jumping back and forth like a bad girlfriend or something. You know, it was weird. I just can't take all the crying, the letters to the NBA. I'm not getting enough fouls. I don't get enough respect. I'm jumping to this team, to that team. I want this dude traded. I want this person on my team. I just can't take all of that stuff. So I feel like he's changed the game. Whether it be good or bad, you know. But I just don't want to see him win anymore. I'm tired of him. 10 finals, I'm tired of seeing LeBron there.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. My bad.
One last thing I was going to say. I know Dragic, he's a hell of a player, but I think the sleeper is going to be Jay Crowder. I think Crowder makes a lot of mismatches, and he's nobody that anybody ever really cares about, but he's a heck of a player.
Mm-hmm. Don, what's your thoughts on what Chris just said as far as his thoughts? And if you have a question for Chris, we'll have a nice little dialogue.
Great point, because that's the part I was going to mention when I came back. This is where I think, and I'm not no mind reader, but the Heat getting Crowder in that trade to get Iguodala, everybody slept on. So now you basically have three bodies to throw at LeBron during the game. Iguodala, Crowder, Butler, and let's say we throw a guy here, a guy there, but on a consistent basis, you got three pretty damn good defensive players that are going to be shadowing this guy. Not saying he ain't going to get his points, guys. I'm just like Chris. I'm tired of LeBron's antics. I'm tired. I will say this out loud for everybody to hear. He did not make the game better when he did that. Let's all get together, because everybody has tried it after that. So it watered down an already watered down league. So I give him no kudos for that. That has damn near made the NBA worse than it was before that. And it's still a watered-down league. And that's what makes me happy to see a team like Miami make it to the championship. Because they was overlooked. They didn't do that. They built organically. Yeah, they picked up a Dragic. They picked up a Jimmy Butler and free agent. But they stood pat. You know, it ain't like you come to my team and we're going to reinvent the wheel to match you. No, you come to our team, you're going to fall in line. And you're gonna play the way we play, not vice versa. But Chris brings up a great point. Crowder may be not saying Dragic won't be, but I forgot about the defensive end. And he's knocking down threes. And he was just a throw in for that Iguodala trade. Oh Lord have mercy. Yeah. This could get interesting, I hope.
Hey Chris, anything else you'd like to add before I go back?
You know, I think people forget how good friends Jimmy Butler is with Jay Crowder. They go back to Marquette.
Okay.
These guys got a very similar mentality. You know, in a fight, I probably wouldn't pick them to beat too many guys in the NBA, but in their heads, they're the toughest dudes on the court. And that mentality right there takes you a long way. Because if you smell fear in somebody, we all know, we all play sports. If you see, you look across at somebody and they won't make eye contact, and you smell fear, you already got them. And those two dudes, they play that prison ball. They all for the contact. They with it. You know, mm-hmm. So I do think, yeah, you got three players in Butler, Iguodala, Crowder, and you may even see Bam out there guarding LeBron. LeBron's going to get his 30, 40. Anthony Davis is going to get his 20 or something, but I think the Heat have a better supporting cast, and this is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be better than what people think. People are saying 4 or 5 games. I give it 6, 7 games.
Mm-hmm. You know, before we get to the matchups, let me put the fan spiel out here for everybody, man. That's a part of the reason why I was going back and forth. Dom and Chris, the fact that, okay, do I want to root for LeBron getting another ring, or do I want the Miami Heat to have another ring as a franchise? That's where I wrestled with the fan argument. You know, that's just for side purposes, personal, for sports as a fan. There's no way in hell I would want the Miami Heat to have 2 more rings in total more than the Knicks. That's where it comes down for me. The Lakers already got 1 million championships. Another championship banner into the Staples Center is not going to change anything for me as a Knicks fan, because the Knicks are way behind the Lakers in total championships. If the Heat got 2 more than the Knicks, it would bother me. That would fucking bother me. Now, LeBron, see, I don't have I understand the argument, Dom and Chris, what you guys were saying as far as him going back and forth between Cleveland and Miami, and he shot out west to the Lakers. You know, I don't necessarily dislike it. It's not the biggest deal for me with LeBron. My whole deal, like you said, Dom, is more of the antics. However, I do like LeBron as a player. I think we all do. Some people don't or can't stand him as a player. I'm more of a Jordan dude anyway, even as a Knicks fan. Let's keep it real. Like, I respected Jordan. I think a lot of people respected Jordan. That's the GOAT. For me, is the GOAT. Now, there's that LeBron versus Jordan argument you see every day, whether it's on TV, social media, the Jordan versus LeBron GOAT. If LeBron gets another ring, he's no closer to GOAT status for me to Jordan than was before. Yeah, you got 3 rings with 3 different teams, but the era is different. That's how I stand. So at the end of the day, Lakers for me, and I hate to say, I wish they could just cancel the games and there's nobody's a winner, but they're going to play the games. If I had to pick, Lakers over the Heat. Now, matchups, you guys kind of mentioned, Chris, you just kind of mentioned it. I want to go to Don with this. This Bam Adebayo, I don't know how he's going to match it. This is interesting. Both of these guys are from Kentucky, right? All these Kentucky guys in the league, Rondo's on this team, Tyler Hero from Kentucky. It's a whole bunch of Kentucky cats in this game. In the series I'm in. And, Anthony Davis, the formula is no different for me, Dom. 30-10, you win the series. Like you said, Dom, with the last series, him and LeBron combined for 70, they're probably going to win. What about the Heat? Is Duncan Robinson going to be that guy to knock down 5 to 7 threes? Tyler Hero, is he going to get a 30-point effort like he did in game five versus the Celtics? Are we going to see that type of support from the Heat? And like you said, Iguodala, that throw-in with Crowder, Memphis, I don't know what the hell they were thinking with that trade, honestly. But the matchups, the supporting bench, I really believe the Lakers got the work cut out for them, because I think you have more veterans. You got championship veteranship coming off the bench as well for the Heat. Don Iguodala, Jay Crowder, what's your thoughts on that? Then, like Chris mentioned with Dragic, what's your thoughts on that with these guys?
Well, I would have thought that the wheels might have came off Robinson and Hero earlier. But when I saw the wheels not coming off them, that's when I started thinking. This 3-year down the road plan, somebody put that damn thing in 6th gear, because they're not playing like that. See, now, granted, anything can happen in any series, but I think what I'm getting is the fear factor is gone. that I'm young, my first rodeo, I think that's out the window. Just to be honest, I think that factor is out the window. And I always been a firm believer, Steve, and you heard me say it a million times, shooters can shoot. They'll have bad nights, but shooters can shoot. And these kids can shoot. I hate to say it so, you know, matter-of-factly, but one, two, three. Three rounds of the playoffs, Steve, and I don't think they were supposed to win any one of those series. And guess what? Kept coming at you. Kept coming at you. They was probably man for man, player for player. Boston was better than them. Let's just be honest. Boston probably was the better team, but nobody told Miami that. Nobody told Hero and Duncan Robinson, even Nunn when he comes in again. You guys are too young to be here. Sit back, relax. Everything's going to be all right. You'll be back. I don't think nobody told these guys that, see? They're just out there playing ball, and we've had this conversation during the year, Steve, when I was saying, man, ain't it weird? Miami's like the third seed. Miami's the fourth seed. And, you know, then the interruption came, whatever. But it's not like they weren't playing good ball all year, guys. They played some good basketball all year. And, again, there's many that would have thought these guys are too young. Sooner or later, it's going to show up. These shots ain't going to go down. But guess what? I think somebody on one of the network games said that about 92% of every shot Duncan Robinson took this year was a three-pointer. Well, I'm assuming he's not going to reinvent his game this late in the race. If he shot 93% of his shots from three-point lane, he's going to keep shooting them. So I love it, Steve. I love seeing the way these guys have come together and gelled and wow, I just hope they win. And there's a lot of reasons. But I think my biggest reason is nobody told them that you ain't supposed to be here right now. We was expecting to see you at this dance in a couple of years. And guess what? And Jimmy Butler, we can't avoid the elephant in the room, guys. Let's just keep it real. Jimmy Butler is the ultimate alpha male. He's going to get the most out of any situation, the most out of any one of his players. And like I told you a couple of times, Steve, it's weird watching him in the playoffs. He goes to sleep for 2.5 quarters, wakes up, starts stretching, doing yoga, and he comes out and just balls in the fourth quarter. Like I forgot we had a game. Let me show up. And even the night Bam made that block, it was Jimmy Butler's shot that sent it to overtime. It was Jimmy Butler's shot that won the game in overtime. He just seems to show up at the perfect moment. Don't score a lot of points. Not ultra fancy, not a high flyer, but he just does what has to be done to win. And, oof, he picked the right spot, guys. I will say that.
All right. We'll go back to Chris, but from Av, this is the gagging NBA Finals. Would be dope if Jimmy can get his ring to shut up his critics, myself included, and a bit of revenge for Miami, but Lakers in six. That is coming from Av. Chris, anything else you'd like to add as far as defending the three-point shooting of Miami? And also what Dom just mentioned as far as Jimmy Butler. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't necessarily need to score a lot of points. But is he going to need to score a lot like he did in these closing four quarters to keep up with the Lakers? Or does he not need to do that? How do you see this with Jimmy Butler?
You know, the good thing about being young, a lot of times is that you're too naive to know what the repercussions of your actions are, right? So when we're young, we do a lot of dumb stuff. We jump off or high stairs and we take a lot of bad shots and we skateboard and we do all this crazy stuff because we don't know no better, right? Tyler Herron, Duncan Robinson, they don't know no better. They're playing their game. Shoot or shoot, like Dom said. Shoot or shoot. That's the part of the game that you can take anywhere, the park, the YMCA, the NBA, Euro League, whatever, G League. If you shoot, you shoot, you know? And I think Robinson's a great story. What was he, a D2, D3 guy? And then made it to Michigan and then thought he was going to – did you see this week where he was reaching out to sports telecasters to look for a job because he thought his NBA, he thought his basketball career was over?
Yeah.
And then the dude is in the NBA, the G League, a few months later. this is a great story. I love that. I love to see dudes that work hard. Because, and that's why he fits so well with Jimmy, because Jimmy was nobody coming out of high school. He faxed over his letter of intent from McDonald's or something, right? He was the third option at Marquette, maybe fourth option at Marquette, right? Because they had Crowder, they had Wesley Matthews,
right.
And they had, what did they have, Vanderbilt back then? You know, like,
yep.
he was the fourth guy. And look at him now. You know, so I think that all of that's a great story, and that's for that reason alone, for the hardworking guys, for the dudes that been told you can't do this, you can't do that, and all that other stuff, I like what they're doing. They're shutting everybody up because everybody always thinks you got to be a McDonald's All-American, you got to be ranked. All these kids, and you know I coach the young ones, and they always checking the rankings and YouTube and this and that. Coach, I need to get exposure in this college coaching. Nah, man, just work your butt off no matter where you go. You're in the right place at the right time, and somebody will find you. And I keep trying to preach that. And these guys in Miami are doing just that. Right place, right time. Tyler Hero is a white boy from Wisconsin. Don't nobody go to Wisconsin to recruit. And look at him now. In Miami, got an Instagram model, killing it all over the internet. They got memes and face videos with him. Oh, the dude is living his life. What's he, 20 years old? It's crazy. Now, as far as Jimmy, I think it was last week I said his attitude is infectious, right? Like, he just rubs off on other people. Everybody else just starts thinking they tough, and then thinking it's like when somebody does well and they want you to do well, then you start feeling like, all right, I got to do well because this person wants me to do well. And, you know, and it's infectious, and everybody starts bawling, and everybody starts acting like they tough, even if they're not tough. And then you look at what they did. They weren't supposed to beat Milwaukee. No way. Even when Giannis hurt, they weren't supposed to take that series. You know, the Indiana series, I was, you know, that was a give and take. I knew he was going to out-tough T.J. Warren. You know, whatever. Oladipo wasn't 100%. Whatever. You know, you don't got all their players. Okay. But they wasn't supposed to beat Milwaukee. They sure as hell wasn't supposed to beat the Celtics. But I told you about them pretty boys, right? When you touch up them pretty boys, they don't like being touched. So, you know, they're proven, and that's why I hope that they continue to prove it. They just out-tough the Lakers. If you just put a body on Anthony, we all know Anthony Davis folds a lot. He's injured a lot. I'm not wishing that upon him, but we all know what happens. We've seen it dozens of times. Danny Green is just a 6'5" guy in the uniform. He's not even Danny Green no more. KCP, he's all right. Rondo's not Rondo, but he's still good enough. Now, you know, the only thing you got to worry about is when they start bringing in Dwight Howard. I heard Deion Waiters is back tonight. If he gets to touch the floor, you know, you got a couple more players. But I still think Miami's bench is – you got more players on Miami's bench than they do for the Lakers. I really only think there's going to be about 7 or 8 guys on the Lakers that's going to touch the floor in this series. I think Miami could go 10 deep.
But that's the thing, though. You're kind of taking a little bit of my thunder about the rotations, because Miami's rotation has actually been a lot shorter than the Lakers. Lakers have been running at least 10 dudes between, you know, the games. You know, five starters, five off the bench. Where the Heat, honestly, they've only ran, what, Iguodala and Hero off the bench? And then occasionally Solomon Hill, they haven't really ran that many people off the bench. The Lakers, if anything, have more people. And I'm not saying more is better. I'm just saying my point is Spoelstra's rotation is a lot tighter than Frank Vogel's. So it seems like when the Lakers don't find the right guys, the right combinations versus their opponents, they're trying to plug in guys on random. That's why, like you said, as far as Deion Waiters type a Deion Waiters type of cat, Who has the rotation advantage? Now, not necessarily, you know, winning the game. I mean, as far as – I think Miami knows exactly who they're running out no matter what. Do you agree that the rotation for the Lakers, maybe it's a little too much? Do you think Vogel's going to tighten that up? What's your thoughts on that, Chris, before we go to Don?
Well, I'll tell you this from experience. If I'm coaching against a team that's not that good, everybody gets to play. If I'm coaching against a team that I know I need my 7 or 8 best players, there's only 7 or 8 kids that's getting in the game. So when you see the Lakers putting 10 guys on the court, that's because somebody messing up. JaVale McGee's out the starting lineup. That's why you had to get Dwight in there. KCP and Danny Green was doing nothing for 2 rounds. That's why you saw all these other guys getting in. It's going to be whoever they trust the most. Somebody's got to show up to be productive. And if they're not productive, you're going to see more players coming in. And the more players that do come in, it's going to mess up the rhythm of who's on the court. If there's only 7 or 8 guys that's playing together consistently, those 7 or 8 guys, they got a rhythm going. They're doing well. When you start bringing in those 8, 9, 10 guys, they don't play as much with them. That's when you start seeing the change. And those 8, 9, and 10, if you remember, those were the guys that were on the court that night they lost to Denver. It was only one game they lost, but they played 10 guys that night. So that's what that's my take on that.
Fair enough. Now, yo, do you have a question for Dom? And then I have a question for Dom as well. But do you have anything you want to throw at Dom as far as this series?
Okay. Now, in the past few weeks that I've been a part of this chat, Dom, phenomenal. Your basketball knowledge is on another level. Now, let me ask you this, though. If you're in Spoelstra's shoes, as we talked about the 8 guys, who are your 8 guys from the Lakers that you will put in the game?
All right, cool. Dom, if you can answer that, then I have a question for you after you answer that question.
That's a good question, Chris. But here's what Spoelstra has been doing with the going from 7 to 10. If you watch the game, or even if you don't watch the game, look at some of the stats from games. He knows how to pick and choose the guys going from 7 to 10, the Olenekses, the Joneses, the Iguodalas, and even throwing Nunn in to give a spell here and there. It's the way Spoelstra picks and chooses how he gets these guys in the game. This isn't grade school where the parents on the sideline saying, "Hey, I want my son in the game." No, them days are over. It's the way he's picking and choosing how to shorten this rotation, long this rotation, but each one he's done, guys, and especially against the Celtics, because it was a little different matchup than when they played the Lakers. The Celtics was smaller, more athletic, so he had to pick and choose by position, by strength, matching up against the Celtics. So when they play the Lakers, you're going to see more of Daniel Jones, Olenek, Iguodala. And guess what? When you have Iguodala, Crowder, and Jimmy Butler, you're sort of getting a 3-for-1 at McDonald's today. So whichever one's on the court and whichever combination is on the court, it always seems to be the same combination, if that makes sense, guys. You could sprinkle these 3 around with Iguodala Crowder or Iguodala Butler, whatever. However you sprinkle these 3 around, it's like they're always on the court together, even if they're not, because the Heat are such good positional players. Guys, they're one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. I don't know if we skimmed over that, but they have been one of the best defensive teams in the league. So it's not like they got to the playoffs and decided, hey, no, they've been a pretty good defensive team. And, you know, this isn't Spoelstra's first rodeo either. I mean, he knows how to do all this. And again, guys, take the time when we get done and go back and look at some of the games and how and where he went from the 7-man rotation to the 8-man rotation to a 10-man rotation. It's phenomenal. And it's not like these guys came in and lit up the building. Tyler Hero, yeah. But the other ones, Olenek, will get you 3 or 4 rebounds. Jones, the same thing. Nunn, get you a couple of points. But they fill in so admirably that it's like the horse never stops running. It's like a serious chain reaction, whoever's in the game. And again, guys, they beat better teams than the Lakers did to get to where they're at. Let's just be honest about that part, too. They beat better teams than the Lakers had to get to where they're at. If I'm not mistaken, the Heat were a 5th seed. So every team they played in the playoffs was probably the favorite.
That's debatable. That's debatable.
I'm just saying.
About a hot that was a hot Portland team they were coming in. Remember, a lot of people thought Portland was going to beat the Lakers. I didn't buy into that. But you know, to Chris's point, I think Portland was playing better than Indiana. So I would give the Lakers the first round tougher opponent nod. The second round, Lakers played the Rockets. That's tough, man, because I mean, we're talking about two different styles. Who do I think is better in the bubble, the Houston Rockets or the Bucks? I would probably have to say Houston Rockets were playing better than the Bucks, I would think. Now, you guys might think different. And then in the last round, the Nuggets versus the Celtics, I would get – oh, man,
Steve. I don't mean to cut you off, Steve, but let me just say this. And what I was getting at, every team the Heat beat were a higher seed, whether they was a better team, whether they was on a better roll or not on a better roll, every team they beat in this run was a higher seed. Every one of them. They didn't play one team in this playoff that they was a lower seed to. So
I think
that was my point. Yeah.
I want to technically point out one detail. Although they were a fifth seed and Indiana was a fourth seed, it was really just a one-game difference, and it came down to the last game of the season, which the Heat rested all of their players. And in actuality, they should have been the fourth seed. They probably should have been the third seed. Who was the third seed? Boston?
Toronto. Oh, is it Boston?
So they should have been the third seed, I feel.
All right, let me ask you this,
Again.
Don. Let me ask you this, Don. The Iguodala part, and this is the point you were making, and I think this was so clever. It was a chess move by Spoelstra. It's like sometimes some NBA coaches don't show you your entire card hand, like if we're playing cards, playing poker. He used Iguodala so cleverly in that Boston series. He didn't really use him until like game four. And he really showed out in game six, where Boston could adjust for the Iguodala effect. It goes back to the transaction, like you said, with Memphis. And then he didn't really get a lot of burn in those early round series. He kind of had the COVID haircut, didn't get a fresh haircut. He's kind of sitting on the bench with Udonis Haslam, just chilling. And then it was like, boom, here, I'm throwing him in out there versus Gordon Hayward or Jaylen Brown. And Boston had no answer for that as far as his action. The whole point I'm saying is you have a veteran team in Spoelstra. He knows what pieces he's going to go and use. And I don't know, maybe Frank Vogel may be able to get away with it because he has a LeBron, but I don't think Frank Vogel's the better coach than Spoelstra. I don't think so at all. I'm just backing up your point, Don. And go ahead, Don. Go ahead and say you were going to say.
No, the thing, you're right. The thing about Iguodala, there was games he played 7 minutes. There was games he played 27 minutes. Again,
this is
where I keep saying, no matter how you slice those three, just keep this in mind. Iguodala, Butler, and Crowder are like one big three-piece. You know, it's like you're getting three for one. Like I said before, you're getting so whoever is in the game again. If you look at some of the stats, there was games that Miami won and Miami lost. That Iguodala played 7 minutes, 27 minutes, but it's how he played and what he did in those minutes. Now, again, fast forward into this series, when you got three guys that you can throw at LeBron, okay. So if we only give Iguodala, let's say, 16 to 17 minutes, those are going to be productive 16, 17 minutes, especially on defense. The same with Crowder. Now, Crowder, he's averaging about, this guy's balling. He's averaging 36, 37 minutes a game in the playoffs, especially against the Celtics. So he's out there putting every foot forward. And, you know, his numbers don't light you up. But it's what he does during the game. This is what I keep saying about the old saying, while others are playing checks, Spoelstra's playing chess. It's the way he's using these guys. It's weird because you brought it up, Steve. There are nights, yes, his bench shrinks to 7-8. And there's nights it goes from 7-8 to 8-10. It's the way he's picking and plucking this at it, it's I'm not calling him Brett Auerbach or the Phil Jackson of the world today, but it's the way he manages the games that is so – the only thing I'm afraid of, to be honest, is the size. Because I don't know what do you do with Anthony Davis and a Dwight Howard or a McGee. Not that McGee or Dwight Howard is going to give you much offensively nowadays, but just with the height. I don't see where Miami matches up too well with that. You know, I mean, Bam, Olenek, who's their really big guys on that team? That part may frighten me a little bit when it comes to rebounding, you know, second chance opportunities. That part may get tricky. But then there's that dog in the Heat. They have that dog in them where I don't think size matters to them. Like I keep saying, guys, somebody didn't go to the Heat locker room in the hotel and say, hey, you ain't supposed to be here. So they have that dog in them. So we'll see, but that may be a semi-downside for them. They don't have a lot of height, guys. They're not playing the Celtics. That was a great matchup. Even though I think the Celtics had the better team, it was a great matchup when you talk size, athleticism. The Lakers have a little more size. Not great players in today's game with McGee and Howard, but they do have size. So that's going to be how do the Heat, you know, adjust to this now. That's going to be tricky, guys.
All right, cool. Hey, Chris, you have any final thoughts? Matter of fact, who do you have as the winner and how many games? And your final thoughts on this 2020 NBA Finals?
So last thing I want to point out is I think by the second quarter, we're going to see how the style of game is going to go. If it's going to go the small ball route or if it's going to go a traditional big man. You know, like Don said, the Heat don't have a ton of bigs, but you got a man on that bench named Myers Leonard. He's been itching to play. He gave him good minutes in the regular season. I mean, you could get him out there just to put a body out there, just to match up with McGee and with Howard if you have to. But it's right. He was right about the Heat don't care. If this is the smaller team, they got the more of the dog in them. They don't really give a damn 4 or 5 inches smaller than the next guy. I mean, they'll outplay him, and that's what I love. Excuse me. As far as the series, as much as I would like to say the Heat, I'm going to say Lakers in six.
Okay. Any additional final thoughts on the game one or, you know, games rest of the week for the series? Looking forward to.
I want to see how KCP and Green are going to defend Hero and Robinson.
Because
Hero and Robinson are doing what KCP and Green are supposed to be doing.
Right.
Yes,
sir.
They're doing what are the younger versions of what you're supposed to be doing. Now, how are you going to defend this? You know, they got the experience. That the Lakers got a ton of more experience than the Heat. And those guys, Danny Green, I don't even know how many damn playoff games he's been in. This is what, his fifth NBA championship? Two, three times with San Antonio. So the experience is going to come to factor, but them young legs, man, when you're coming off that double screen and you're trying to chase somebody and you got to go over the screen, you can't go under the screen with these two dudes. I want to see how they're going to defend this, because that may be the determining factor of when the Lakers go small. And if they go small, the Heat got the better small ball team than the Lakers do.
Fantastic, bro. Yeah, we'll be back next week, man. Thank you very much. Donardo DP, man, your final thoughts. Who you got winning the series and number of games? And, of course, your final thoughts, man. Great dialogue, guys.
God, I thought Chris said he had Miami earlier in the show, but I'm sticking with Miami.
I want Miami. I want Miami to win.
I want them to win, and I wanted them to win since they started this bracket. So I'm gonna stick with what I've gone with, Steve. I mean, I know it's I don't have those little bitter beer moments no more with them heating in there. Cause I'm too old for that shit. So I'm going with Miami. Number of games, I don't know. I would say 6-7. It depends because, like Chris said, we may know a little more tonight which team is going to adjust. Again, Miami's adjustment isn't that great other than Leonard. Where are they getting these bigs? But if the Lakers have to go small, then you got a lot of question marks because you don't know what Edgar Allan Poe is going to give you. You don't know what Kuzma is going to give you. You don't know what Rondo is going to. So there's a lot of question marks. What if the Lakers try to go small? So we'll see. Let's just hope. To be honest, guys, I'm really not even that into it because this is weird because we have the baseball playoffs and we have the NBA championship. Steve, you know I'm more of a baseball fan than I am a basketball fan, and ironically, my team is in the playoffs in baseball. So I'm really kind of finding it hard to gear my head of wrap my head around that. I've got my head too wrapped around the Yankees right now. So, you know, let's see how it plays out. But I got the Heat. I'm going with the Heat, guys.
All right. Don, thank you very much. Chris, thank you very much. I'm going to probably go Lakers in six. I'll go Lakers in six. My final thoughts? Listen, man, in normal circumstances, I probably would not be watching this series because I hate both teams. But, you know, it's the bubble, the NBA Finals, and how all leagues persevere. I'll watch it. I'm just going to watch it and just it is what it is as far as if LeBron gets another ring or if the Heat add another championship title. But yeah, like Dom, you know, all the sports at one time, you know, just I'll watch everything I can get my hands on and we'll talk about it, have an opinion on it. And that's kind of what we do on this platform. And it's always good talking hoops knowledge with knowledgeable hoop fans like you guys, man. So, we'll be back next week to see where we are at with the NBA Finals. Maybe the series will be over. Maybe it'll be close to over or we're tied or whatever. But Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you guys enjoy. And we'll be back next week to talk more hoops. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Lead Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you?